Parsha Kitetze has a tremendous amount of laws, very, very varying types of halachas, a lot of them very, very practical for our lives. One such practical halacha is found at the beginning of Perek Kaf Beis, chapter 22. Let's learn the psukim together. You shall not see the ox of your brother, or his sheep or goat cast off, and hide yourself from them. You shall surely return them to your brother. If your brother is not near you, and you do not know him, then gather it inside your house, and it shall remain with you until your brother inquires after it, and you return it to him. So you shall do for his donkey, so you shall do for his garment, so you shall do for any lost article of your brother that may become lost from him, and you find it. You shall not hide yourself. So when we take a look at these psukim, we notice straight away that there's a tremendous amount of redundancy, right? It gives us examples of your sheep or your goat, and then it goes your donkey and your garment and any lost article. Like, why all the specifics? Like, what? I mean, obviously, it's any lost article. Why do we have all these different examples found in the psukim? Second question is, the word achicha, your brother, is repeated 5 times in this section, which when the Torah is very concise, this seems to be a tremendous amount of times. We have to understand the emphasis. And finally, both the beginning of the section and the end of the section end in the same way. You shall not see and hide yourself from them. And it ends, you shall not hide yourself. So obviously, what is this emphasis on you can't hide yourself? Like, why would I even think that a person should hide themselves? And again, as the Art Scroll brings down, that it's human nature to, you know, be a little bit lazy. Oh, they're not really looking for it. It's not such a big deal. I'll take it to my house. I'll get around to it. There's obviously, we're dealing with something very, very fundamental here, that the Torah has to, both the beginning and the end of the section, focus in on, you shall not pretend you did not see, you shall not ignore. We need to understand what is the emphasis found here. And again, when the Chumash itself says, Hashev Tishivein, you shall surely return it, the Sfarim point out, Rav Munk brings down at the end of 4, literally this may be translated, return them, you shall return them. That is to say, return them once, and then again and again, until the mitzvah has permeated you thoroughly. The first time you act, it's to fulfill the Torah command. The second time becomes something that you want to do. And by the third time, it becomes part of your very being, so much so you will not be able to hide yourself from performing it. What is it about this mitzvah that we need such a reminder over and over again? Make this mitzvah become part of you. Make sure it's like part of the fabric of who you are. What is the significance? What's the power behind this mitzvah that there's so much of an emphasis? Do not hide yourself. Make sure you return it. You may have to return it over and over again, right? This poor little sheep gets lost. This cat strays. The dogs. Over and over again. You know, person loses their water bottle again and again. They leave it at the same shear every week. Like, you think to yourself, you know what? Like, let them learn a lesson. Why should I pick it up and take it home and call them? You know, and then bring it back to them. Let them learn a lesson that they're going to have to find it themselves. No. It could be every shear for an entire year. Don't ignore it. Take it home. Return it to them. So, Emir Tzashem, what we'll try to do today is the following. We'll take a look at this on the level of pshat, the way the rabbis understand this, which will be on 2 different levels, right? Within pshat, there's obviously pshat, remez, drash, and sod. So we'll see the pshat/drash on the first level, which will be 2 parts. Then we'll take a look at these psukim homiletically on the level of drash, and we'll see them very briefly on 3 aspects, between man and God, between man and others, and between man and self. So we'll see in these psukim, which seems to be dealing with donkeys and oxes and clothes, that we're dealing with something much, much more profound here, and that's Emir Tzashem, it's the beauty of learning Torah. But let's start on the most simple level. What is these psukim come to teach us? Source number 2, the Art Scroll. To protect someone else from financial loss is not only commendable, but one who can do so is specifically forbidden to ignore the opportunity. Notes Rav Weissblum, Shlita, and Haras Derech. Shetech Miyuchad, Source 5, Hu Achriyato Shel Adam Klapei Mamo. There is an obligation that every person has to his fellow in regard to property, to money, whether it is the money of another or your own money. And that's why he quotes these psukim. Al tistakel alav ba'adishut. Don't look in a type of way of, oh, like, who cares? Ela hashev tishivim. But you have to be able to return it. Afilu mehapamim. Even if it's 100 times. Because we have to have this responsibility for the property of others, and we have to treat property with a tremendous amount of respect, to the extent where the Torah goes on. Second paragraph in 5, Im lo karov achichei lecha, if your brother is not close to you, explains the Ramban, you're not obligated to go to another country, right? Fly over there to return his object. Rather, or you don't know him at all, rather bring it into your house and it shall be with you until your brother asks for it. And the halacha, and there's very specific halachas of how to take care of this. You have to, and different items need being taken care of for various stages where it's your responsibility. Take care of that sheep, feed the sheep, whatever it is, you need to take care of it. This property has an onus or responsibility on you. And this is why, in source number 5, in the arrow, the Ksava Kabbalah notes, why does it go repeat itself 3 times, V'chein ta'aseh, this is what you should do? Because each item mentioned here has a different way of guarding it. You guard the ox in one way by making sure that it's properly taken care of. And the sheep, you have to shear the sheep so that the wool doesn't become too heavy. And if it's a garment, you have to air out the garment so that it freshens up every once in a while. And if it's a book, you open it up. And every single thing you have to deal with in a different way. So v'chein ta'aseh, why all the details? And why not just say, this is what you shall do for a lost object, to emphasize that it's not one and the same. For every type of lost object, you have to be able to treat it with the respect that that object needs and deserves in order that it can be brought back to the owner in the perfected state as much as possible. And that's why it says, Matchilat Torah inyan ze b'milim lo tireh. It begins, do not see, which means ignore, and it ends, do not ignore, to teach you. Ech ata mesugal lerot et shor achicha. How can you possibly see the ox of your brother and just ignore it? Achrayut chavercha mutalat alecha. You have the responsibility of your brother that is placed on you, and we have to take that responsibility seriously. Rabbi Chill, in his Sefer on the Mitzvot, adds in Source 6, caring for the possessions of another is not limited to finding and returning. This commandment includes the obligation of everyone to care for the possessions of other in every respect. So, for example, one who sees an onrushing river is about to demolish the home of another, you must work feverishly to put a dam or a dike in order to prevent a disaster. When you see that something might happen to harm your neighbor's property, you have a responsibility to take care of that as much as possible. And it's small things, right? If your neighbor leaves his light on in his car, so we know that a light on can drain a battery. Go knock on his door and say, you know, you left your light on, you should return it, you should turn it off. So a person may say, oh, it's 10 o'clock at night, I just got home, you want me to go and knock on my neighbor's door or WhatsApp them and just till I find their number, I don't even know who they are. This is it, lo tuchali talem, this is your neighbor's property. It doesn't have to be a rushing water, it can be the light on in a car, it can be whatever it is. We have this type of responsibility. And Sefer Chinuch in Source 7 notes, society can exist only when there is cooperation. Everyone should be able to feel that in the absence of his own personal attention in his possessions, there will always be someone to give them necessary care. And that's the way a society works in the most beautiful way. With this, we can appreciate the sensitivity to the property of another. A point that Rabbi Fran brings the name of Maaseh Solomon Shlita. And that is, why does it repeat, as we mentioned in the beginning, 5 times the word achicha? So he says, to appreciate this answer, we have to take a look at a pasuk by Lavan and Yaakov. When Yaakov Avinu wants to make a monument separating him and Lavan, the pasuk says, Vayomer Yaakov lechav middle of eight, liktu avanim. Yaakov said to his brothers, gather stones. Well, the obvious question is, Yaakov only had one brother, Esav, and he wasn't there. Who exactly are these brothers? So Rashi double squiggly answers this refers to his sons, are referred to as brothers because they were brothers in arms. When a person is willing to risk his life for someone who loves, he loves, the Torah expresses that relationship as achva, as brotherhood. The Medrash teaches that because they're ready to don the same uniform, they became known as brothers. In Lashon HaKodesh, everything is defined by its essence. The essence of brotherhood is not the exact biological relationship, but by the kinship of emotion and of purpose that a bond creates. It's the same bond exists between a father and son, then it's called brotherhood. So now we can appreciate in 9, when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, returning lost objects, says Rav Matisyahu, the Torah is teaching us that the mitzvah is not to merely return a lost object to its owner, but that we should care about the owner of the object, as we do for a brother. And that's what it means, lo tuchal litalein, you cannot look away. Normally, Torah would say you are not allowed to look away. Why does the Torah say you cannot look away? Lo tuchal litalein. The answer is this goes to the basic root of the mitzvah. The point is not to say I would love to walk away, but what can I do? The Torah requires me to take care of my friend's objects. No! The point is that when you see something that belongs to your friend, you should feel, I can't walk away. I cannot possibly turn a blind eye when my brother is missing something and is suffering from the loss. We move here from just a technical mutual responsibility that I have to take care of my owner's property to a feeling of the owner themselves, the achicha 5 times. In order to really do this mitzvah appropriately, I have to feel this kinship with the others around me. How can I possibly look, you know, the other way when it's my brother, when it's someone I care about, when it's somebody who they are a concern of mine. And that's the goal of this mitzvah. The goal of this mitzvah is to engender a feel of brotherhood, a feeling, as the Chinuch said, a mutual responsibility among one and each other. That's the goal of living in this society. That's something that we have to aim toward. And as the Shari Chaim just adds in source number 10, you know, sometimes you see something lying around and you're not sure. Well, did the person forget it? Is the person going to come back to get it? Like, you're not sure, is this really a lost object or not? Right? You see a book lying around. Well, maybe they left it here and they're going to come back for it. Maybe they left it here for somebody to pick up. And there's a lot of question marks. So the natural reaction of many people will be, well, I don't really know. Since I don't know, let me just leave it here. Like, you know, why bother? And he says, no. That shouldn't be our response. Our response should be, I am obligated to at least find out what is my responsibility here. And this is not just for Shavuos Aveda, this is for life. So many times we're like, I don't know the halacha, and you know what, I'd rather not find out. You know, what I don't know won't hurt me. No, that's a wrong attitude. A mitzvah is an opportunity. A mitzvah is nitzchias. A mitzvah is eternal life. You want to find out. You want to do this mitzvah. This is something that is pleasurable. Derechecha derechei Noam. And the Chol Nesivos says shalom. That's the beauty of what Torah is about. So on the most simple level, my friend, the way we normally understand it when we learn this parsha, any object of your friend, any type of physical possession, there has to be some element of responsibility, of guardianship, and a feeling, this feeling of brotherhood. Now, my friends, let's take a look at the second part of the pshat, of the simple interpretation. Again, pshat sometimes is a little bit deeper than what we reveal the text. And that is what many of the Sfarim speak about. We'll begin in the Tivat Torah, Rav Gamliel 11. Ve'im b'mamon chavercha tzaricha ta'laso kol tzadiki sheba'olam shelo lavo lidei hefzed. If we see that with the property of another we have to go to all extents possible, right? Call the fire department, do whatever you need to do in order to protect their property. Kal v'chomer, how much more so she'im himcha ro'eh? How much more so if you see that your friend is toeh b'derech ha'torah? It's not a dog that ran away. It's lahavdil, elef alfei hebdalos. It's your friend who has veered from the path of Torah and mitzvos, and is going to potentially lose their neshama because they're not going on the way that's the correct path. Alecha laso kol ha'mamatzim shebaolam lashivo el haderech hanechona ha'ola beinel. We have to do whatever we can do to be able to help bring this person back. And that's why it says in 12, Vasafto el tov beitecha, hechniseu leveitecha, daver el libo, el nekuda pnimit shebetocho, and show him the right way in order for him to go back to the derech hatova v'hayishara. You know, I was reading a story recently, and there are many such stories, where there was a master thief. This kid was like a kid in his early 20s, who his specialty was stealing expensive cars. That was his specialty. He had it down. So one day he has his quote-unquote equipment with him, and he sees in an alleyway an absolutely gorgeous car. So without thinking twice, he breaks up into the, opens the car, and he starts driving away, puts down the roof. You know, he's having a grand time. And when he turned around to look up at the roof, he sees that there's a baby in the back of the car, a little child. And he sees the child is blue. He freaks out. Without thinking twice, you know, 140 kilometers, he goes straight to the hospital, brings the child in, and they said, 3 minutes later, lo aleinu, it would have been a terrible story, and thank God they were able to revive the child. He tells them, you know, the truth is, I go explain this one. I am not the father, and they, you know, look in the glove compartment. They find out who the father is, and this is the story he tells. He says, I was walking down the street, and I see this child in this car. So I broke open the car to run to the hospital in order to save the child's life. Well, he became a hero. Wow, thank you so much, what you did, right? Again, not ignoring, going to all extents, breaking into a car. He became the hero of the town. And the father said, you know, I really want to repay you for saving my son. Could you do me this favor? Come spend Shabbos with us, then we'll make a kiddush in your honor, v'chule v'chule. And which he agreed to, and he had never spent a Shabbos like this in his life, and you obviously know the end of the story, is that he becomes a full Baal Tshuva, he is very impressed with the Rav, he confesses to the Rav the entire story, you know, he can't live with a complete lie his whole life, and it was that experience of Vasavto el tov beitecha, bring him into your house. What this person living in Bnei Brak has to do with a fancy car. I that was my question on the story. You may have the same, but we always know the whole story. This is it. Bring him into your house. Let him see the path of Torah. Let him see the beauty, and that will help them bring them back to the path of Torah. And that's why, instead of, you know, screaming Shabbos, Shabbos, and throwing stones, stop them and say, I bet you don't know the beauty of Torah, the beauty of Shabbos, which a lot of people do, and bring them into your house. Source 13. Well, my friend, it's never too little, it's never too late, it's never enough. The Torah mentions Mitzvah Shabbos Aveda several times. And he quotes here, which is quoted by many, many of the Mefarshim, is this the core piece, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, who writes, the ox, the sheep, and the goat are actually references to people who are no more knowledgeable in terms of Torah knowledge than animals. When you find such a person, and he belongs to your brother, a reference to Hashem, who relates to the righteous, says, brothers, do not hide yourself. Don't turn a blind eye toward the castaways, the unfortunate souls who will become estranged from Hashem. Return them to your brother, to Hashem. And as my friend brings down here, if anyone's ever lost a child, and that panic that sets in, So you are so appreciative of anybody who's going to find your child. You know, I can just relate personally. I only had that twice, thank God, where one of them was in Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim. It was like 20 minutes before Shabbos. My older daughter, who was 7 at the time, was taking my younger daughter, 4 at the time, on a little walk through Kibbutz Chafetz Chaim. We were there for Shabbos with the school. And my 7-year-old comes back, and I said, well, where is your sister? I don't know. I don't know. You know, like, when you're in a place that you don't know, it's getting dark, it's almost Shabbos, like, so I start knocking on all the Darchevina girls' doors, you know, they're blow-drying their hair, and I'm like, drop everything. We need search parties looking for this 4-year-old girl in a green dress. And I went to the front office. I was a little bit embarrassed. And I said, like, you know, is there like a cold co-red? This was going back, you know, like 15 years ago. So WhatsApp wasn't around just at that time. I said, I lost my daughter. It's like embarrassing to say this. And somebody had just called in and said, we found this little 4-year-old by the shul. And they gave her, you know, a little candy or something, and she was fine till we found her. And like my Darchevina girls were making fun of me. Now, where would a smiles kid be when they get lost? Obviously, by the shul. But those, you know, 10 minutes or so of pachad is beyond, and the feeling of gratitude to the people who say to this little girl, you know, just stay here. I'll give you a little treat, and your emo will come back. Wow. Kivyachol, that's klapei shmaya. We're all Hashem's children. What will it take to be able to give that nachat ruah to the Borei Olam, to bring back his child? Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokechem, the Torah tells us, continue to underline in 13. You are children to Hashem, your God. Hashem has lost not thousands or hundreds of thousands, but millions of his children. Imagine the pain. Please bring back my children. And the Orachaim HaKadosh continues in 14, and he says, if your brother is not near you, which refers to the final exile, which is distant in terms of time, when the tribulations of exile will cause people to feel that they do not know him, which is describing today with the assimilation rate so high, they will stray from Hashem and may be unsure of whether he exists, as we see in the case of our generation. If the Orachaim HaKadosh bemoans the people lost to Hashem in his times, how would he describe our times? What does the Torah command us to do in such times? The Orachaim HaKadosh continues, gather it inside your house. Gather those straying, wandering souls into your house, the Beis Medrash, teach them Torah mitzvos. It shall remain with you until your brother inquires after it. Hashem will eventually gather up these souls and consider it if you return them to him. And astonishingly, Hashem is so grateful to those who return lost souls to him that he rewards them by giving them as much power to nullify decrees as he, Hashem, has to make them. Wow. What a guarantee. And indeed, this idea, bringing back lost souls, you know, the imagery of Rav Noach Weinberg, that's how, you know, the whole Eish HaTorah platform is, you know, he says, imagine if on the trains to Auschwitz, you were able to pull one soul off the train. Who wouldn't do that? You know, that one soul. You know, how many times do you see this? People who had one child after the Holocaust, and that one child had 15 kids, and they're, you know, being makariv the world. Like, you know, what person? It's worlds. Of course you would grab that one person. One more yid back. So why aren't we so ready to grab off the train of assimilation just that one person? And this is really a directive and operative for each and every one of us. Look around you, in your workplace, in your neighbors. Who are people who are strange, who know nothing about Yiddishkeit? Invite them for a Hanukkah party. Invite them, you know, partners in Torah, something to be able to bring them in. The Omoshe says, the Orachaim HaKadosh speaks about this elsewhere. To give an example, the Pasuk says, Adam ki yakriv mikem, a man who sacrifices from you. And he says from this, Lishtadel l'karev l'vod am Yisrael l'vodos Hashem. We have to bring a korban to Hashem. What is the korban? It means korban means to bring close. V'tziva lo chiyach l'chol arachok v'l'karev libo, to take all those who are far and bring them close. And kol mezaket harabim in chet bal yada, one who is able to bring merit to the public, no sin comes to them. They are protected. This is what we need to understand, this protection that we have. This is our responsibility. Go out, find these people, bring them one step closer, whether it's even something small, as, you know, not something so small, it's not marrying a non-Jew. Continuing source 19, Umata im shave prutakach. The Chavetz Chaim at the end of source 15 says that Hashem tashivem la'achicha din hashavas aveda hiafilu im erko eino ala yoter mishavei pruta. Even if it's not worth much, return them to your brother. If that's true of a shavei pruta, it's worth, you know, minimum amount. How much more so al kol gufo lo kol shekein? How much more so if a person's life, and not only a person's physical life, a person's spiritual life, al achas kama v'kama. This is part of lo tamod al dam re'echa, don't stand idly by as the blood of your brother is being spilled. And this, Rav Moshe Rosenstein adds, shatova gdola biyoter shebicholtenu lasodi machenu b'nei Yisrael, the greatest good that we could do with our brother who are veering from the way, he lekarvam ulamdam lakir davim shemayim, reintroduce them to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to their Father in Heaven. And this is it. Bani Matem, we are all the children of God. We need to return them to Hashem. And notes the chavos of avos. You have no idea of the schuyos, of the merit. Shizchuyotav nichpalo bavur schuyotam b'chol hayamim b'chol hazmanim. Your reward is going to be paid over and over again for what you've done. Just taking a peek at source 23 for one moment. Rav Scheinerman, Moshe brings down two stories at the end of 23, in 23, to show you this power. Story number one is that in these small towns that existed, like these outlying towns, the students of Nahar Vodak would go knocking on the door and try to bring, you know, children into the children of the village into yeshiva. Once there was a yasam. Once there was a person who didn't have a father, an orphan, whose name was Yaakov Yisrael. And this bachur brought him into the yeshiva of Narvadek to start learning. And this bachur became none other than the Stipler Gaon. Do you know that all of the Stipler's learning and midos and mitzvot will all go on this fellow's account? Wow. And in fact, this is the way Reb Chaim Zaitchik illustrates it. He says, we can imagine the Dubno Magid is going to get up to Shemayim. The Dubno Magid was tremendous, right? Same time as Zagra, they were comrades. And the Dubno Magid is going to be shown 50 Sforim and get credit for them. And he'll get to Shemayim and say, oh, I think you made a mistake with the wrong person. I never wrote all those 50 books that you're giving me credit for. And they'll tell him, you're right, you didn't write those 50 books, but you'll remember that in your town there was a blind elderly man that his son used to take him around door-to-door collecting. And you had pity on this father and son, and you took them into your house, and you adopted this son as your own when his father died shortly thereafter. And you raised him as your own son, and you taught him, he had never learned, and that son became Rav Shlomo Kluger, who was Rav Shlomo Kluger. And all those firm that he wrote go into your account. My friends, I don't think we get it. It's not just bringing somebody back. It's more than that. It's when you bring somebody back, you are bringing back tremendous amount of potential kedusha in this world. Just if they answer one Amen Yeh Shmei Rabba, one Bracha, it's, you have no idea of the Klum Shemayim. We take these things for granted. Even more so than that, know that all that this person does is accumulated on your account. You have no idea of the schuyos, the merit of someone who brings a person back to the level of Torah and Mitzvos. And know, my friends, that this idea of bringing something back to our mitzvahs is not just the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. It's another mitzvah involved as well. Source number 20. We know that there's six mitzvahs tmidios. There's six constant mitzvahs. And the Sefer Achinuch is the first to point out that unlike most mitzvahs that can be performed only in specific times, there are six mitzvahs that you can do day or night, rain or shine, weekday or Shabbos. One of those mitzvahs, look at the back of Sefer Achinuch for the list of the six, or I highly recommend Rabbi Berkowitz's Sefer on the six constant mitzvahs. It is probably one of the greatest reads out there. How I know it's such a great read is my students love to learn it. That's a big litmus test for me. And one of those mitzvahs is Ahavas Hashem, is to love Hashem. The mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem is based on the idea of Ahavta Hashem Elokecha, that you should love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Medrash says, Ahaveu al Habrios, make Hashem beloved by others. So one of the sins God's mitzvahs is to love Hashem. One of our responsibilities as part of loving Hashem is making others love Him as well. When you're enamored with somebody, you want the world to be enamored. Do you ever see a boy or a girl who get engaged, particularly girls, they like to talk more, they tell everyone about their chasm, whether they want to listen or they don't want to listen. They're just so excited. When you love somebody or you're excited about something, you want to share it. So part of the love of Hashem, and this is really what Avraham Avinu was about, Avraham Avinu, Avram the Beloved One. Why? Because he wanted just to share that Ahavas Hashem with everyone around him. And that's why you see Shemiklal in 22 in the arrow, Mitzvah Asei Shal Ahavat Hashem, He Lachzir B'Tshuvah Schilim V'Ptiim Sheinem Yodim Et Hashem V'Torato. This is part of this mitzvah of loving Hashem. It's this Hashavas Aveda, being able to bring back other people toward Hashem. Now, we've spoken about simple level, return a lost object, take care of the possessions of your friend, tell them that their light is on in their car. The deeper level, on the pshat level, is bring back people back to Hashem, people who are totally assimilated, people who don't even know they're Jewish. And this includes as well as kids who, lo aleinu, have gone off the derech. So you see these kids drinking at night or just hanging out on Friday night, go over to them. You know, somebody was telling me a story of a neighbor of mine whose daughter has, at this point, left the fold, wears, shorts and barely a t-shirt, walks around Ramat Beit Shemesh. And this mother said to me, there was a woman who came over to her, to this girl, and said, would you like to join us for Friday night meal? And the girl went. Don't think that they're not interested. Right? Again, you have to make the calculations that you have to make with your own children, v'chuli, I grant you that. But don't think that they're not open. These kids are looking for this type of relationship. They're looking for this type of love. This is a responsibility on us. Part of Hashavas Aveda, part of Lo Tamaro Damriecha, and part of Avas Hashem. Wow. Tremendous amount of mitzvahs. My friends, let's take this on another aspect. Similarly, bringing somebody back, I just want to shift it a little bit. And that is, it could be your friend who is Shomer Torah Mitzvos. There also is room for tochacha, for rebuke, to bring a person back. And this is in the Sefer Imrei Chemed, which he speaks about he introduces this idea from the Pnei Menachem. The Pnei Menachem says that we know that a Canaanite slave leaves B'shein V'ayin, that if you harm this Canaanite slave with an eye, you knock out his eye or his tooth, then he's able to be released. On a deeper level, the shein, the teeth, represents food, eating, and it represents, not stealing, and speech, and the ayin represents being able to look at things which are necessary to look at and what aren't necessary to look at. A person can leave their lowly status b'shein v'ayin. If you're careful about what comes into your mouth, what comes out of your mouth, and you're careful about what you see, you're able to leave the Eved Kenani, that Canaanite part of yourself, you can leave and be able to extricate yourself closer to Hashem. Using this as a model, says the Imrei Chemed the following. The Torah begins by saying, if the shor vaseh, the ox or the sheep, get lost, Sure, from the pasuk ki mirosh tzurim erenu u'migvaot ashurenu, is the idea of seeing. Seh, the sheep eat all day. All they look for is food to eat. When a person sees that their friend has deviated from the path in terms of what they're seeing or what they are eating, right? You see that your friend is eating at a restaurant which really doesn't have such a great hechsher. Or, you know, you go on the computer and you see that they're on some sites that are questionable sites. Whatever examples you want to use. This is also a Shavas Aveda. You have to do whatever hishtadlu, whatever you can do to bring this person back. Continues the Chumash, and this is what we ask, why all of these details. This is what you do, v'chein tasel l'chamaro. Chamaro in the aspect is if a person becomes too entrenched in physicality, right? Your friend buys a new house and all they talk about all day is their tiles and their bathroom colors, and you say, this is wonderful. However, I think you've gone a little bit overboard. You know, just in a nice way, remind them. V'chein tasel l'simlato. Their dress code has changed, and very often, one of the first steps of a person going down is changing their dress code. All of these details are reminding us of different aspects that our friend may veer off the path, and our job is to be able to, Nimsenu Lumedim Sha'ikar, end of 26, B'mashet Tzarich Adam L'chazek Et Chaveiro, we have to strengthen our friend, V'lo Lodo La'alech B'derech Tovim, when we're told to bring somebody back, it's not when they hit rock bottom, no, because then it's really hard, but rather when you see they're not careful about something small, it's not such a big deal. Those are the times we have to make them pay attention. I know, it's just a small thing. You'll tell me it's not such a big deal. It may not be. But life is a slippery slope. And then you say, well, I've already done this, so then I can do that, and then I could do this. And the slippery slope continues. And he notes, and it's so beautiful, as we just saw in 27 and 28, V'im lo karov achicha eilecha, v'lo yedato, v'asavto obetecha, v'ya imecha, drosh achicha oto, v'ashevot alo. These are all work. When you're friends with this person, when you have that relationship with this person, that you can make these comments. But ve'im lo karov achicha eilecha, if your brother's not close to you, you don't know this person very well, then bring him into your house. Get to know this person. You know, enable a situation of trust, right, without any ulterior motives, just for this person's best benefit. This is what the Chumash is teaching us. We have to go out of our way to be able to reach out. What was that? Reach out and touch someone? What was that? The telephone of old? Yeah, that's our job, is to mamish go out and be able to be sensitive to Kadosh Baruch Hu's honor. To which Rav Pinkus notes here, and this is in 29, Lo tuchel litaleim. Perush Rashi in the middle of 29, right above the asterisk, Lichboshet encha kilu encha ro'eh tov. Don't make it out as if you don't see them. Ani Hashem, by the Lo tamor adam reyecha. Hainu dam, mi omeda lecha ro'eh mistarei lipcha. Know who's watching you. Know who's watching you. It's inside your heart. V'yodea im yadatim matzav. And he knows whether you're well aware of what's going on or not. And this includes two things. Sometimes you make believe as if you don't see. As if you don't know. Double underline. Sometimes you make it out like, what did you want me to do? I mean, please. You know, just because my co-worker is Jewish but knows nothing about Judaism, like, what do you expect from me? And in both cases, lo tuchal litalem. Hainu shelo tatzlich bazesh shetinatzel litalem v'lo lerot. Lo ladav v'lo lergish v'tzarat chaverecha. You can't ignore the pain of your fellow. You can't ignore the pain of the Ribono Shel Olam. And in front of Hashem, everything is seen, whether you were able or you weren't able. Right? And maybe you aren't able, but that's up for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to make that decision, that judgment, that you need to be honest in making. You have to be careful that it's not just like, oh, who cares? Such an impervious attitude. Okay, so they're eating this. Okay, so they're looking at this. Big deal. It's not my problem. And again, it's a fine line. And with your relationship with v'chule, it's definitely a fine line. Our responsibility is at least to be asking the question. At least to be looking and saying, should I say something? How should I say something? Maybe I get somebody who knows them better to say something. Maybe I can make a comment in some way. Whatever it is. At least I am not ignoring the situation. That is our responsibility. Okay, my friends, we finished part number one of the shiur. Hashava Saveda, two parts to the pshat. Return a lost object. Be careful of the person's possessions. Treat him like your brother. You can't possibly, you know, look away. You feel the pain, right? We all know this, right? If you lost your wallet, OMG, you're calling up everybody looking for it, v'chule, v'chule. You lost Lo Aleinu, your child. We had this a few months ago. A friend of my daughter's, her brother went to the park that's near us. It's 11 o'clock at night. The boy is nowhere around. His phone is nowhere around. You know, and this is a 14-year-old boy, and it's getting later, 11:30, and these parents are really low, even keel, and the sister's freaking out. So my daughter went to the park to 11:30 at night to look for this boy, and I'm in bed, and I'm thinking to myself, I just sent my daughter to look for this boy in the park. Okay, it's not like a New York park. I jumped out of bed. I ran into the car, and I went to look for my daughter who was looking for this boy. We found him at the bus stop, and we said, borrow your friend's phone and tell your parents you're okay and you're coming home. Those are responsibilities that we need to do for the physical possessions as well as returning lost children. Right? There's a lost children's gemach in many cities in Eretz Yisrael. It's part of, you know, borrow chairs, borrow, you know, chickpeas before pidyon shalom zachar. Boys born right before Shabbos, there's a lost children's gemach, where you bring children to. And then there's a deeper level, my friends, where we have to return the spiritual part of our God's children. We have to be sensitive to if somebody is veering off in the, you know, the extreme of somebody who's not even religious. And then there's the continuum of those who have left the path, who are leaving the path, or who are just veering in something very small. Part of Hashava Saveda is to bring that soul back to Ribono Shel Olam, put the person who's veering off the path back on the straight and narrow path. Now, let's take a look in the few minutes that we have left to the more homiletical view, the drash. And I want to look at it very briefly on three levels, between man and God, between man, and man itself. Let's begin. Rav Asher Weiss on the Parsha, source number 30. Between man and God. The Gemara tells us that Rav trembled when he came across the pasuk, you will become lost among the nations. His student Rav Papa consoled him by suggesting they will be like a lost object whose owner searches for it and will ultimately reclaim it, as the pasuk states, I have strayed like a lost sheep, seek out your servant. In discussing the laws of returning objects, the Gemara tells us if one finds an object with no distinguishing characteristics, he can assume that the owner has abandoned hope of ever reclaiming it. However, if the object can be identified as the owner's, one must assume that the owner hopes to reclaim it. And again, there are a lot of halachos of Hashava Saveda, which is definitely not our focus for today. In two different sources, we find this ruling applied to analogy of Hashem's search for his beloved children, who wander lost among the nation. The Shem Yishmuel writes the name of his father, Adi Nezer. Every Jew has two marks of identification which distinguish him from the other nations. The first is Bris Milah, and the second sign is either Tefillin or Shabbos. Why are two signs necessary? The Gemara questions whether the marks of identification by which ownership is proven are reliable by Torah law or only by rabbinic law. If the mark is an obvious proof of ownership, it's certainly reliable. The poskim add that if there are two marks of ownership, even if they're not an obvious proof, they're also considered reliable by Torah law. The marks that distinguish us as Hashem's chosen nation are perhaps not as obvious as we might hope, Perhaps we have failed to observe Shabbos properly. We have failed to guard the holiness of the Bris Milah by abstaining from immodesty. We have failed to fulfill the mitzvah of tefillin in all of its details. For this reason, two signs are necessary to prove we are Hashem's own. Yet, even if we have no signs at all by which to be identified, so we are the lost object. And Hashem is the one who comes searching for us. And we have to have some sign that we scream out, "Hello, I'm yours, Hashem." Shabbos, Bris Milah for a woman is guarding the laws of modesty. We're here. Yet even if we have no signs in 32 at all which to be identified, our hope is not lost. Ultimately, Hashem will surely reclaim us as His own. The Ramban writes that the rules by which a lost object with no distinguishing marks is despaired of and abandoned by its owner apply only if it's lost outside of its owner's property. If it's lost somewhere in its property, it remains his under all circumstances. Since the entire world is Hashem's property, he never loses possessions of his lost nation. Even if a Jew is so confused as to flee from Hashem's embrace, he will never be lost to his loving Father. Furthermore, Hashem never despairs of any Jew. He waits patiently until the final day for his children, right? Achakelo, to return to him in his overflowing love. And this is the idea. Though we have wandered far from him, his thoughts always lean toward us awaiting our return. We need only to call out to him as David HaMelech cried, "I have strayed like a lost sheep," and Hashem will surely search for servants and reclaim us. When a sheep is lost, it pathetically bleats. The shepherd realizes it's lost and turns its ear to hear its bleating, to locate it and gather it back to its flock. So too, we must cry out to Hashem, 33, like lost sheep, until He hears our prayers and gathers us back to our homeland. In these holy days of Elul, Hashem is especially close to our calls. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li, am I to my beloved? I alone am to my beloved is to me. We need only to call out to our beloved Father. Open our hearts to Him with the tiniest modicum of sincere tshuva, and He'll hasten to answer our call, fulfilling His promise of, "Return to me, and I will return to you." So, my friends, idea number one, on the level of the drash, second part, level one, 2A, is that we're the lost object. It's like reconfigures this story. And Hashem, kivyachol, is the owner. And we're all on His property. And He's searching for us. And He's asking, "Hello, where are you? Return to me and I'll return to you." Just call out, scream out that you want to be found. And as soon as you want to be found, right, Hashem's hand, kivyachol, is ready to grab, mincha pshuta l'kabel shavim, to bring people back. We have to want to be found. And that's the job of Elul. Elul is about saying to Hashem, "I have wandered over the year. I'm lost. Help me come back. Help me be in your embrace. Help me be back where I belong as one of your people. Help me be back in this relationship that I have lost." That's idea number one. Ben Adam la Hashem. Ben Adam la Chaveiro is a very sweet idea, 35. This is like a great Sheva Bracha Vort. So get a pen and paper ready. It's wedding season still. And after Yom Tov, major wedding season. And this is a great Sheva Bracha Vort. Listen closely. This is Rav Saratskin, Megad Yosef, a little bit of Tel's Torah. 35. We know Chazal say that a man looks for a wife, right? He takes the initiative. Why? Because Nimshal l'chizur shabal aveda achar vedoto, right? The imagery Chazal give is that he has to look for the lost object, right? The tzela, the rib, was taken away from him, and now he has to find his rib. He has to find his wife. So the man looking for a wife is like a person who's looking for the lost object that belongs to him, right? To make them one. Then, after he finds her, they get married. And at the wedding, we wish them Siman Tov u'Mazel Tov. You ever think about that phrase? Siman Tov means a good sign. Mazal Tov means good luck. Okay, so I understand the Mazal Tov. We've spoken about it at a deeper level. That the mazel, that which flows from heaven, should be good. Open yourself up for bracha. Great. What is siman tov? It should be a good sign. What should be a good sign? It should be a good sign that's a good marriage. What does that mean, siman tov? So we know, as we just spoke about, that in the idea of Hashavas Aveda, there are different levels of simani. There's a siman mufak. There is a very clear sign and a sign that's not so clear. Right? If you have your name and address on it, it's clearly yours. But let's say you have a green string on it. Well, I put green strings on everything. Really? It's not as a clear sign with your name engraved on it. So here we go. So what happens is we wish the Chasan Kala a siman tov. What does that mean? Oftentimes, after a Chasan Kala get married, there enters into doubt. Oh, was this the right one? Should I have married somebody else? So we say, the Aveda, that you, man, were looking for your wife, that which was lof, siman tov. No, it's a good sign. It's a sign that's a siman mufak. It's a sign that this was the right person for you to marry, and you should walk into the relationship with a siman tov, thinking that this person is the best person for you, not walking into the marriage, well, maybe I should have married somebody else. No, siman tov. Know that this is a siman mufak. This is a good sign, and that it should just bring mazal tov. Okay. That was a nice Shavuot Bracha for 36. Now Ben Adam Latzvo, let's end with a piece from Rav Shur in Lekach Valibov. He says, "Vaber lidrosh b'derech havoda al pimasha katav hasfasemes." Understanding the whole idea of Hashavas Aveda based on Sfasemes, bottom 36, ki be'emes l'chol adam nitan kochot rabbi miyashamayim. All of us have a tremendous amount of gifts, abilities that were given to us from heaven. Kochot HaGuf, 36b, last page. There are physical aspects of us. There are spiritual aspects of us. There are emotional aspects of us. And all of them are meant to be able to, L'asav Ritzon Hashem, to do the will of Hashem, L'kayim Mitzvotav, L'mol Torato, to do His mitzvos, to keep His Torah. V'chein kol averav, ha'peh l'daver bo divrei Torah, given a mouth to say words of Torah, ears to hear words of Torah, words of rebuke, and to do the will of God. Omnam, however, in the arrow, be'etsh adam ishtamesh b'kochot ha'gufa nefesh l'shimush ritzono. But when we use these things for our own benefit and for our own good, and we leave God out of the picture, ulamat tarot acherot shelo nivru aleihem, and we use them for things that they weren't really made for, v'chol shecheini rachmano l'tzlam ishtamesh b'hem lavor aritzono yitzbarach shmo, particularly for using them going against Hashem's will, double underline asterisk, 36b, harei ne'avadim kochot elu mimenu v'notolam asetra achra, we lose some of this power in us. You're not using your kochos to do the will of God, so Hashem says, why should I give all of them to you? And you become weak in certain areas because you're not utilizing them for good. And then it takes a lot of hard work to bring them back to yourself. What is Hashavas Aveda here? It's returning yourself back, not to the Ribono Shel Olam, as in the first case. It's returning yourself back to yourself. When you do full tshuva, then you get back all of those kochos. You get back all of those things that you abused and misused. So when we say vidui for achet shechatan l'fanecha b'siach sifsosenu, that I just speak and non-stop on things that aren't of real import, so then I lose some of the koach of what my speech is about. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? So you're going to lose part of your speech. I do tshuva for it. I get back that ability to be able to speak with full force, with full vigor. And this explains a little bit deeper in 37. Rabbi Shimon Yolakish says that Neshama Yaseira Hashem gives to us on Erev Shabbos. Well, say Shabbos is taken away from us. How do I know this? Pasuk says, Shabbat Vayi Nafash. Vay, woe to the Nefesh. Woe to Vayav the Nefesh. Woe to the soul that is lost. So, ask the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, we use that while we say have the summit. woe to the soul that is lost, like the Sabbath of Motzei Shabbos. But Shabbat Ve'Nafash happens when Shabbos comes in. Woe to the soul that is lost. How does that have to do with Shabbos coming in? I get it when you say about Shabbos going out. But really, Shabbat Ve'Nafash has to do when Shabbos comes in. Where have I lost the soul when Shabbos comes in? So explains the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh the following. He says, Shabbat Ve'Nafash is indeed a Knesset Shabbos. And he brings the Tzvas Emes, Rav Shor brings the Tzvas Emes, Piri Shapi Darko, that when Shabbos Kodesh comes in, you suddenly realize, I, Vai Avda Nefesh, I lost my soul. Not the way we normally understand it, I lost my Neshama Yaseira, and I say, oh, I need the Samim. But I lost during the week the kochos hanefesh. Now that I have an increase in soul, I'm able to see what I lost over the week. I'm able to see how I've missed the mark. I'm able to see where I wasn't utilizing myself to the fullest. Suddenly I get like, you know, it's like walking around. If any of you wear glasses, you can appreciate this. You walk around without your glasses on, and you think that you're seeing very nicely, or relatively nicely, and suddenly you put glasses on, you say, whoa, there's a beautiful world out there. You ever get like a new pair of glasses that is the correct prescription, you haven't done it in like 4 or 5 years, you say, wow, there's a beautiful world out there, I haven't seen it for years. Shabbos is getting that pair of glasses, that's the Neshama Yaseira, and I realize I have lost, I haven't seen my kochos hanefesh during the entire week. On Shabbos we know, the Arizal says we get back the two Ketarim, the two crowns of Nasa and Nishma. We become a different person. So therefore, when a person realizes what they've lost during the week, Shabbos becomes a time of Hashanah Aveda. Shabbos becomes a time to remind me, let me strengthen myself on Shabbos so I can go back into the week with the fullness of Kochos HaNefesh. And if that's true of Shabbos, it's for sure true of Elul. 38. The idea, the end of 37, 38, the idea of Elul is to be able, b'koach adam, litov v'lashiv kochotav, shenev du mimenu, shlo yeh b'yad acher chas v'shalom. This is the Rosh Tevot of Elul, v'chvodi l'acher lo etein, and my honor to another I will not give. You're not going to lose your honor. Chodesh Elul is about seeing where I've lost my kochos hanefesh. I've lost my focus over the year. I haven't been able to tap into who I really am and what I can really accomplish. Elul is about realigning ourselves. Elul is about getting back to ourselves. Elul is about Hashavas Aveda. And it's as if, even though it's all year, that at Chodesh Elul we are hearing the bat call, that heavenly voice that comes from Har Charev and says every day, you know, woe to the humiliation of Torah, those who leave Torah. And it's really a reminder to each and every one of us, hello, just like you have to be machrit, you have to announce. Anyone lose this, you make a public announcement. It's as if Hashem makes an announcement every day, hello, souls are lost. Go find your own soul. And that is what in 39 and 40, what it means you can't have a blind eye. So often a person is going to l'ramot et atzmo, is going to fool themselves to say, this really wasn't us, sir. It's really not lashon hara, right? It's not so bad. Stop. Don't turn a blind eye. Be honest with yourself. Am I holding where I should be holding? Am I utilizing my kochos hanefesh to the place that I should be? Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Elul is screaming out, don't turn a blind eye. Don't be apathetic. Don't say it's not a big deal. Do an accounting. See which parts of yourself you've lost. You don't access. You don't tap into. You don't even use. And Elul is a time to reclaim. We read Parsha Ki Teitze. It's a reminder to reclaim those parts of ourselves, to bring ourselves back to ourselves and ultimately back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So my friends, in summation, Hashavas Aveda, why all the details? Brother, do not hide yourself. This is really a fundamental halacha, not just technical. Yes, on one level, it's about the primacy of mutual responsibility in a society for a person's possessions and a person's being. yes, it is on this level of responsibility to make sure that people are on the straight and narrow path and their vote is Hashem, and again with sensitivity, bring them to your house. On the second level, it's a call that all those who have distanced themselves from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, all those who are lost, this is the time to come back to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. This is the time that those lost sheep should be bleeding and saying, Hashem, please bring me back. I want a relationship with you. Elul's crying out. And Hashem taking back that lost object, ourselves, kivyachol. On the second level, ben adam l'chaveiro, it's in a marriage, whether it's just got married or married 50 years. You should look at it as a siman tov and a mazal tov. And on the third level, we've lost part of ourselves. Throughout the year, Rosh Hashanah, we're gung-ho, and then it peters out, as we spoke about last week. We get back on the bandwagon. We say, let me see what I haven't been utilizing this year. What parts of me are dormant? Be able to bring those back. Every Shabbos is a time to realize, what I've lost during the week. Elul is that time. And ultimately, when I am sensitive to the needs of my brother and the property of my brother, that awakens within me sensitivity of how important it is. I see how happy a person is when I bring this back to them and how grateful they are. It is just a reminder how grateful I will be and how happy I need to be able to bring back myself to none other than myself.